Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of New York Sports Nightly, powered by Alexander's V2O Water here on Blog Talk Radio. Jose Otero here with Joey Torres. Ricardo behind the board, 657-383-0089, the digits to dial to get on the action. Hope everyone is having a great Monday night, now Tuesday morning. The college football playoff right now is in progress. Out down in Texas, we have the Nets in action and the Jets coaching search to talk about. But first, the talk of the nation. Yesterday's controversial call in the Cowboys-Packers playoff game, which I think, me personally, and I'm the biggest Cowboy hater, and I thought it was a catch.
I thought it was a catch also. I'm not a Cowboy hater. I'm not a Cowboy fan. I'm, you know, Jets fan, although I like the Rams also, but the Cowboys are not really a rival of any sort to me, so I don't hate them the way I hate, say, New England or Miami or the San Francisco 49ers. But the fact of the matter is that was a great catch by Dez Bryant. I mean, it was a great game. It was a very entertaining game, and that game was a perfect example of why football is the number one sport in America. It's a shame that one play overshadowed exactly that, that it was a great game, because all everybody was talking about was the Dez Bryant play. That's all people were talking about.
I understand the rules are rules, and I respect that. However, first of all, Bryant came down with the ball. He had possession. He took his three steps. Now, everyone's talking about, okay, football move. He did make a football move while he was diving. He had his arms outstretched toward the end zone trying to score a touchdown. That's a football move to me right there. And the fact that it tainted a great game and probably took away what would have been a great ending, Aaron Rodgers marching down the field with minutes left to lead to potentially lead the Packers to a victory, or the Cowboys finally making a big stop after the defensive ineptitude yesterday's game. It just took away from what was a great game to that point.
Pretty much. I mean, listen, all I know is they need to tinker with that rule, and they need to make it where a play like what happened yesterday will be allowed. Because, when I first saw the play live, I was just like, wow, I can't believe that, you know, Dallas is on the verge of scoring a touchdown. I knew it wasn't a touchdown. I was like, that's at the one-yard line. But I was just like, man, what a catch. And then it was taken away just like that. So I know it started with Calvin Johnson, and he was the inspiration for the rule that's now firmly in place. But I think that the NFL, they need to tinker with it, because at the end of the day, they have a product to put out. They are there to entertain the fans, to come through and give us, you know, fun, exciting games. And you want a game like that to come down to who really is the better team. And for the officials to take that away to an extent is a shame. It really is a shame, because that's all, like I said, that's all people are talking about.
But we can't put that on that play. We can't put that, that's the reason why the Cowboys lost on that reverse call. The reason why the Cowboys lost was one, DeMarco Murray fumbling, giving the Packers the momentum and giving the Packers a score in a crucial moment. And two, the Cowboys defense, which was totally horrible, especially on third down. They allowed the Packers to convert on third down 9 times out of 14. They couldn't make the big stop. They could, especially on the ensuing possession after that controversial call, where they had the Packers 3rd and 11, and boom, Aaron Rodgers throws a 14-yard completion to that rookie who pretty much owned Brandon Carr's game. That being said, if anything goes to if anybody should get the blame, should it be the ref, it should be the Cowboys defense, and it should be DeMarco Murray, who had a great game up until that point.
Yep, and mind you, DeMarco Murray on that fumble, if he did not fumble it, he had a clear pass to the end zone. He would have been untouched.
Oh, that changed the game right there. That was a game changer. You're right, because he had a clear pass to the end zone. All he had to do was just walk in there, and that would have ended the game. But the bottom line is the Packers are moving on to Seattle. They'll be playing them for the NFC Championship game. It should be a good one, a rematch of week one. Now to Denver. Peyton Manning, a lot of people are saying Peyton Manning, yeah, he looks washed up. Yesterday, he looked as average as a quarterback has looked in the playoff, has looked ever, a quarterback of that caliber. And we found out why, because he had a torn calf. Torn quad.
That's what they were saying. And I had a feeling that that you would hear news like that today because he did look un-Peyton Manning-like. His throws were weak. There was one play where he had a clear pass, even though he's not the most mobile quarterback in the league and he's not known for that. But had he run, he would have, gotten a chunk of yards and said he threw it.
And that came in the second quarter.
Yeah. And, so you could see right there that something wasn't right. Now, I wasn't thinking injury or anything. I was just thinking, oh, my God, this is the classic case of that great athlete that you've admired for many years, whether he's on your team or not, but you've always respected him because of his greatness. And now it's reached the point where you're seeing that player on the field again, only he's a shell of his former self, which you hate to see that in any athlete, because it happens to everybody.
It does, especially with great athletes like Peyton Manning, who it was painful to watch yesterday. It was painful to watch him not throw that fast. It seemed like he lost that fastball that he's so known for. That zip. He lost zip on his passes. He couldn't throw the ball. It seemed like he couldn't throw the ball more than 15 yards. It was like watching Chad Pennington again. It was painful to watch. And it led to a chain reaction in Denver, apparently, because John Fox and the Denver mutually parted ways. And I say that while doing quotation marks with my fingers. And the coaching staff has been informed that they'll still have their jobs, but it's best to look somewhere else.
Dude, those throws he was making yesterday made Chad Pennington look like he had a cannon for an arm back in the day. It's just they were lame ducks they was throwing. That's all he was throwing. Just like a dying duck. They were throwing. It was painful to watch. So when the news came out today, that was his quad, torn quad or whatever. And so when I heard that, I was like, okay, I admire him for playing under the circumstances, if that's the case and everything. But, what bothers me is that I mean, I'm not saying don't start him at all and bring in the backup and whatever, because obviously, you know, this is one step closer to an AFC title game and all. But if they knew that he was this banged up, they should have altered their offense a little bit, kind of like what the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers. With the whole, even though a calf and a quad is two entirely different things, but nonetheless, there's still injuries that did hamper both quarterbacks. Obviously, Peyton Manning got the worst of it. But you could see yesterday that Aaron Rodgers at a lot of points during that game wasn't himself either. He was definitely wasn't as accurate as he usually is. You know, a lot of overthrows and stuff like that. And obviously his mobility was definitely hampered by the calf issue and everything. But they created plays, did a lot of the pistol offense with Aaron Rodgers, and they did it where
Eddie
they
Lacy
made the adjustments to help them.
Which the offense, which I credit Mike McCarthy for doing, and obviously this led to the demise of John Fox in Denver. However, word is that he turned down an interview for the Jets head coaching position, which I don't see him getting the job anyway. I think that job's either going to Tom Quinn or the defensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, McDermott. I think I see John Fox going to Chicago. Moving on to the AFC Championship game, who do you have in the AFC Championship game?
I hate to say it, but I see New England winning it. I see Brady getting it done and finally getting back to the Super Bowl for the first time since post Spygate, I guess. Because pre-Spygate, they were making it to the Super Bowl with regularity. Post-Spygate, nothing. So they'll finally be able to clear that hurdle. So I hope I'm wrong. As a Jets fan, I hate the Patriots with a passion, but I see them winning. I think they'll find a way to get Andrew Luck's number and make him fall short. So I see New England winning it, definitely. I think Brady's going to have another big game.
That was a little something on my throat. Moving on to the college football, and just finished up in down in Texas. The Ohio State Buckeyes have won their sixth national championship ever by knocking off the Oregon Ducks 42-20 in a huge, impressive game by Ezekiel Elliott. Had probably one of the best games I've seen from anybody in a college football game. 36 carries, 246 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Wow.
That's like freaking Madden-esque.
That's like Madden-esque if you turn up all the sliders. It's good, Cardale Jones. Kid Cardale Jones showed me a lot tonight. This third-string quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes, you know, they were supposed to go in with Braxton Miller, Heisman Trophy candidate. He ends up losing. He ended up being lost for the season with an injury before the season even starts. Their second-string quarterback, he ended up getting injured after a few games. He ended up losing. This kid right here, he pretty much, him and Ezekiel Elliott pretty much carried this team on their back all season long. And now they're the national champions, and what a game was played despite the 4 turnovers. And despite that opening drive by the Ducks at the beginning, looks like the game was going to go Oregon's way. You know, they drove it 11 plays, 75 yards. I thought, me personally, listening to the game at work, that the Ducks were going to win this game. It was going to be a cakewalk. My predictions were wrong. And then what killed Oregon was those 2 drops by Stanford. pretty much did Oregon in. Now, mind you, they did score 10 points at the beginning of the third quarter. I thought it was going to be led to a good ending, and Ezekiel Elliott went off.
Yeah, they've been both for career highs, what he did today, in carries and in yards. So his stock went up today.
His stock went up huge. And in an area, in an era where the running back is basically in the NFL, I say this kid, with this game alone, going into next season, is going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate and potentially a top five pick, barring injury, in the NFL draft in 2016. I said it.
Wow. Wow, that's all I can say.
Speaking of stocks, I think Marcus Mariota, his stock went down.
It definitely went down. I mean, I even had one person on Facebook, one of my friends on Facebook, who described him as another Mark Sanchez. So, you know, I like, well, you know, I'm a Mark Sanchez fan, but Mark Sanchez is not among the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. So, you know, if you're gonna draft a guy who's going to be compared to Mark Sanchez, I don't know if you want to waste your number one pick on that guy. You'd rather have him be a second round pick or a third round pick, but not a number one. So
he's definitely not a number one pick.
I mean, it's still kind of debatable, but yeah, I'm leaning more towards he's not a number one pick, and not a, and if he's a first rounder, you got to consider late first round, something like that. He's definitely a product of the system that they have over there in Oregon, because you know a lot of his throws are quick, short, you know, slant routes, and then you get a lot of yak after the ball is caught. So, you know, you have a lot of that. But he does have a pretty good, you know, pretty strong arm, too, and he does throw the deep ball. So, I mean, like that 70-yard pass that he threw, that was a nice throw that he made there. So,
But my concern is, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but my concern with Marcus Mariota is that the Ohio State defense had him under pressure pretty much the whole game. And in any quarterback, throwing it under pressure is being under pressure. He was throwing some ducks. He overthrew his receivers. He underthrew his receivers while trying to throw on the run while being under pressure. I don't know if this kid is a projected number one pick. I think his stock just does fall a little bit. Will the Tampa Bay Bucs select him in the first round with the first pick? Maybe, most likely, but only time will tell.
They're desperate for a quarterback. They got to do something to address the quarterback position, so they may pick him.
Now let me ask you: if he does, on the result of this game, he does fall to the sixth pick. If you're the new Jets GM, whoever that may be, and if you're the new Jets head coach, would you take him?
To Mariola?
Yep.
Man. I don't know. It's such a tricky situation, but it looks like the new Jets general manager is going to be, I can't remember his name, the guy from the Houston Texans. But it looks like that's going to be their new GM.
McCannigan.
Right, and I hope, and I want Quinn as the head coach, so let me get that out of the way. Even if the Seahawks make it to the Super Bowl, which I am, I'm probably the only Jet fan that wants the Seahawks to not only go to the Super Bowl, but I actually want them to win it again. Even though, you know, they're in the same division as the team I root for, and the Rams, but you know, I have a good friend of mine who's a big Seahawks fan, so, you know, root for him, you know, so he could be happy, so it's all good. But I want those two. I want that tandem. So I'm willing to wait till after the Super Bowl to bring in Quinn here. Now, I don't know. After tonight, I don't know if I want to take that chance because, see, you got to understand, the Jets are in a situation where they draft a quarterback, and the quarterback fails miserably. That's really going to set them back another 10 years because the jury's still out on Geno, and me personally, I don't think he's the answer. So now, if they draft a quarterback and he fails, coming off the heels of a failure by Geno and his predecessor, Sanchez, you know, this team is going to be set up to fail for the next 10-plus years. And, you know, as a Jet fan, I've been there and done that way too many times. So Winston is the guy that I would want them to pick, but the obvious concern is what's between his ears. I mean, the guy's big, he's strong, he has an NFL body, he has strong arm, you know, accurate, makes all the throws, even under pressure. I that's the guy that I would want because I do think whoever drafts him, providing that he keeps his nose clean and doesn't become a mental case or whatever, I think that he has the potential to be a very, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the league going forward. He has all the tools. He has all the tools. So if I had a choice of one or the other, which, by the way, I don't think any of them will be available by the time you get to the sixth pick. So to me, it's a moot point. But if by chance one of them were available, by some miracle, I would have to take Mr. FSU and give him an opportunity to fight for the starting job right from the get-go.
All right, now to basketball. And WWE Raw apparently was in two places last night, obviously, in wherever Raw was held last night, which was the ending was good. And
it was in New Orleans.
Over at the Barclays. It was down at where the site of WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans and the Barclays Center between Kevin Garnett and Dwight Howard with 7 minutes and 56 seconds remaining in the first quarter, in the opening quarter. Game barely started. People settled into their seats and Howard and Garnett are fighting. Apparently, Garnett didn't like the hard foul. Howard got in his face, shoved him a little too hard. Garnett headbutted him like if he was Zidane Zidane. And Howard threw a punch at him. And apparently, Howard didn't get ejected.
Wow. Yeah, I heard about it. I read about it, but I didn't see it. I have to check it out. See the actual incident myself. I haven't checked it out yet.
But to the game, the Nets lost 113-99. Big game for Mason Plumlee, who impresses me day after day after day. However, this Net team lost five in a row since getting back to 500. Team basically is just listless. They're in a malaise right now. And the Pistons are two games behind them for the eighth seed. They fell to the eighth seed now, and the Pistons are two games behind them. They keep up on this place, they're out of the playoff run.
Like I said about the Nets, I'll say it again. They're an average team at best, and if they make the playoffs, one and done. It's as simple as that. They're just not good enough.
All right, now we have 5 minutes left on the show, and we have a new segment called the Home Stretch, the five-minute drill. And we're going to fire off on some topics in the last minute. Now, the Giants today has interviewed Pepper Johnson as their defensive coordinator. Should he be the next Giants defensive coordinator, or should it be Steve Spagnuolo?
Well, if you want to go back to the future, and then you get Spags. You know what you're getting in him, and he's helped deliver them a championship. So he does have the pedigree to get it done here. But if you want to go with a completely fresh approach or new start, and at the same time bringing in someone who has a championship pedigree with the Giants too, only as a player, and you go with Pepper Johnson, I think it's a win-win situation for them. No matter who they pick, I think that their defense will improve from what it was last year. And a lot of the issues you had last year under your boy, Perry Fuel, your favorite of all time, you know, at least there will be a situation where adjustments will be made at halftime. And I just see both defensive coordinators being very prepared and helping the Giants improve their defense. Because the defense, you know what? The Giants' defense isn't all that bad. Remember, you had a lot of injuries to your secondary, so that really hurt you, the Giants, last year. So if you get you know, Prince healthy and everybody else, you know, playing up to their level, then I think that their defense has the potential to be an average defense, maybe even a slightly above average. So it's a win-win situation for the Giants, no matter who they get.
I want Pepper Johnson. I want a brand new start. You know, fresh philosophy, possibly change it to the 3-4. We'll definitely see. Now the hockey. Now the Rangers completed a sweep of California during the weekend. What do you think? Would you call the Rangers the best team in the East?
Oh, listen, when it comes to the Rangers right now, coming off the heels of that trifecta hat trick in Cali, and now coming home to play the Islanders of Short Island, which, by the way, that game, this will be the first Rangers-Islander game there's a lot of buzz to it. There's a lot of juice to it right away. People are talking about this game. People are hyped up for this game. And it's been years that we can say that because Rangers have done their part. Rangers have been a good hockey team for, you know, quite a few years now, where the team from Short Island, not so much. Well, now that team from Short Island is really good. So I'm pumped up for this game tomorrow. I can't wait. It's going to be must-see TV. And for those even that are not big hockey fans but are New York sports fans, you might want to do yourself a favor and turn on MSG and watch that game, because I can guarantee you, you will be entertained to the fullest.
I think that'll be a great game tomorrow. I think it's the biggest Ranger Islander game in years. I'd say since the 94 playoffs. But right now, I think the Rangers are heading towards that up slope. And if they win tomorrow, they win against Columbus and Boston and on Sunday against Pittsburgh, it'll be huge. But we'll get into that tomorrow. Now, we have under a minute left to go in the show, and we have the overtime show for those who are listening on the archives. Macho Man Randy Savage will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, as it was announced on Raw tonight. What is your favorite Macho Man moment?
WrestleMania 3, easily, hands down. One of the greatest matches ever in wrestling history.
With
Santana.
Well,
Ricky Steamboat.
This one's kind of peculiar to me, to others, I should say, but it's a favorite moment. SummerSlam 91, when he kayfabe married Elizabeth. So for Jose Otero, I'm Joey. For Joey Torres, I'm Jose Otero. Thank you very much for those listening live, and right now we are in the overtime. Thank you for those listening on the archives. This is the New York Sports Nightly Overtime Show, where we have a little bonus for you, a little bonus treat. And right now we're going to talk about Raw tonight, which I didn't see for I didn't see. I was too into the college football game. I was too into other things, especially at work. But I did put out a tweet there. I did catch the Roman Reigns promo, I should say.
Oh,
and
man.
That was the worst promo I have heard in 30-plus years of watching wrestling.
I feel bad for him because he has everything to be the next in line when Cena steps down. Because obviously Cena is the face of the company, and whether people like him or not, he's, you know, he's there. And Roman Reigns has the physique, good-looking guy. Not the best technical wrestler, but, you know, he gets it done in the ring. You know, a lot of people don't like the Superman punch. I like it, even though it's a simple move, but I like it. Maybe that's a Superman fan in me talking. I don't know. But when he speaks into the mic, it's like, what happened? And from what I'm reading online, Vince McMahon is the one that's writing his promos. Vince McMahon has taken it upon himself to personally help Roman Reigns get out of this mud hole that he's in, which is called his promos. Now, last week he did a promo that was all about where he said suckering succotash as if he's Sylvester the cat. And people grilled him on Facebook for that. And then today he decided to tell a story, which is sad because in the beginning, the promo started off good. It was pretty good. But then he started telling the story, and that's when it went downhill.
It went downhill from the moment that he picked up that microphone and started talking. It sounds canned. It sounds ridiculous. And I think it goes back to the back in the day where if you couldn't talk on the mic, you had a manager. And if this were 20, 25 years ago, they would have gave him Bobby the Brain Heenan, and Heenan would have done his promos for him. And this guy can't talk. But what an ending to the show, from what I'm reading on the internet. Seth Rollins, who I think is going to be a big player for years to come, he came in and he curb stomped both John Cena and Brock Lesnar. And apparently this is going to be a three-way for the championship at the Rumble.
Yep. Oh, my God. Seth Rollins. Everything that Roman Reigns is not on the mic, Seth Rollins is, and then some. Seth Rollins, see, now there's the total package. There's the guy that physically he's in great shape. You know, he's not a bad-looking guy. His gimmick is great, and his mic skills are unbelievably awesome. And he plays the heel role so good. He plays it amazingly perfect. So I think him and Dean Ambrose are the two biggest deals going on in the WWE right now. And if you want to talk about divas, obviously I'm an AJ Lee fan, but gotta love Paige. Paige is awesome.
I think Paige is the anti-diva, but yes, she's on Total Divas, which is kind of contradictory in herself, but she's an incredible wrestler. She's breath of fresh air in a divas division that obviously needed it. And with AJ apparently departing, it's going to be interesting where the division goes. I think she should carry the division.
No, she's coming back. AJ's coming back. She's going to do the upcoming house show. I think is it next week? Or it's in I got to check. But I know it's an upcoming house show in the Izod Center. And she's going to be there. She's advertised to be there.
Oh, that'll be interesting. I would hope.
So,
definitely would hope so. But Now
Me
to
too.
This national, now to this national title game. Is there anyone that particularly grabbed your eye besides Ezekiel Elliott and say like a Marcus Mariota?
I mean,
That
those
you
are
would
the
say.
guys that obviously caught the eye, that caught my eye. They got it done. And like you said earlier, Marcus Mariota, his stock went down. So I don't know. As a Jet fan, I don't wear a week ago, a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, I'd have no problem if the Jets picked them. I don't know if I want that now because – It does look like he's a product of the system. And I want a quarterback that no matter who the offensive coordinator is and what his style is, that quarterback will be able to adapt, and that quarterback will help his, will be able to be a productive quarterback. So
I think I honestly think that this kid, if this kid is a sophomore, this Elliott kid, and like I said earlier on the show, his stock has just went up. He is a Heisman Trophy candidate for next year. And barring injury, barring anything, this kid will be a top five pick in the NFL draft 2016. Now to the disaster, the quagmire, the whatever you want to call it, that is known as the New York Knickerbockers.
Oh,
and this is, and you see how my voice just went. It's depressing. It's starting to get depressing. And Saturday at the Garden was as bad as you can get, because when at one point they were down by almost 50 points to the Charlotte Hornets. 50. Almost 50.
And it's to the was it the Hornets they played?
Yeah, they played the Hornets on Saturday.
So it's not like they're playing, you know, I mean, all due respect to the Hornets, but they're not, you know, the Clippers, they're not the Miami Heat, they're not the Cavaliers, you know, they're not a team, they're not the Spurs. So I don't know. To lose to a team like that and to be down that many points, oh, boy, I don't know. Where do I start? We don't have enough time for me to get started on them.
My God, it's just Carlos is just getting brutal. It's starting to get really, really, really bad.
As Carlos hasn't jumped off the ledge yet.
Thank God I missed the game on Saturday. Thank God for me, because you know I was at my old high school big rival game down there, basketball game down there. That's where I was at. But when I saw the score on my phone, I was just like I just bowed my head and just shook my head, and I was like, I can't believe what's happening. When I saw it was 62-31 at halftime, they outscored them 40-13 in the second quarter. I couldn't believe it. I was like, really? To the Hornets?
41 points they gave up in the second quarter.
And they only scored 13 in the second quarter.
They looked as beaten and as sad as you could look as a basketball team could look. It's just getting depressing talking about it. It's sad. I already am looking forward to next season.
I'm looking forward to the off season.
I want to see what they're going to do. I really do.
This is the first time in my whole time being a Knicks fan that I'm looking forward to an off season. It's that bad. I'm just like, in January, I'm like, end the season. Just end it. Just please end it for me already. And I realized that we still got 40-something more games left. I'm like, good, oh, my God. Now, I have a question because I'm debating this with other Knicks fans. I want to see what you guys think. Do you think Carmelo Anthony should shut it down now or wait till after the All-Star game since it's in New York?
I think he should wait till after the All-Star game. Apparently he's getting this in this popularity contest that is the NBA All-Star Game fan voting. He is apparently third in All-Star voting. He hasn't shown me much this season except for a few games. I think he should just play the All-Star Game, give the people what they want. Obviously, the only Knick that will be represented, because the last time there was an All-Star Game, there was no Knicks represented on the All-Star team. And then just say, hey, listen, that'll be my season. That'll be the last hurrah.
Yeah, that's what I agree.
I would just play the game in London and then the All-Star Game, and that is it.
Shut it down.
Give him a few more games. Give him some, of course, don't play him in most of the game. Give him a few more games before the All-Star Game. Have him play the All-Star Game. Don't play him much in the All-Star Game. And then, right the day after the All-Star Game, shut him down, send him to the doctor to get his knee surgery for next year. That's me.
Yep.
All right, that's going to conclude the overtime show for Carlos Mercado, our producer, for Joey Torres. I'm Jose Otero. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will see you tomorrow night with the Rangers Islanders recap. See you tomorrow night.
Have a good night, everyone.